Gittin Perik, Dalet, Mishnah Tes, 4-9, the last of the Perik, and wrapping up the topic of Tukunei HaOlam, enactments that were there to make the world a better place, despite the Me'ikra Din. So we have two more different halachas, nothing with Gittin, just each one stands on their own. The first is, HaMochers Atzmo Ve'es Banav Lagoy. I'll translate literally first, then explain it afterwards. One who sells himself and his children to a Gentile, Ein Poden Oso, we do not redeem him, we don't ransom him, but we do ransom, meaning redeem, buy back the children after the death of their father. That's because of Tikkun Olam. So just details here. The case is where a person repeatedly sells himself and or his children to a goy to raise money. So he's in sort of financially destitute. He has not once, not twice, but three times sold himself and his children as well, perhaps. Now, each of the first two times, the community raised the funds and bought him back, ransoming him to return him on his feet. He did it a third time. So now, because of the burden that he's putting on society, and this is sort of like reckless behavior, so the Tikkun Olam is, people should know in advance, do this for a third time, you're not getting redeemed. And that being the case, a person won't sell himself to goyim in the first place. And that's the idea of our mission here. And it applies equally to his children, because the children, the thought is, again, that he's forcing the hand of the community to come up with lots of money to support his financial problems by selling himself and then relying on the fact that there is this mitzvah. Of course, I want to make sure it's clear, we understand that to redeem a Jew who's owned by a Gentile, whether he sold himself into slavery or he was taken, is certainly a mitzvah gadola. It's certainly a great mitzvah. But this person is he's exploiting the system and forcing the community to bail him out in a big way. So the takana is we don't redeem him if he does it for a third time. As far as the children go, same goes. If he sells them twice, we wouldn't redeem them the third time. The thought is here that we don't want it to be in a situation where he sells them again and we have to do it again. That said, certainly if he dies, as the Mishnah says, he's no longer around, then we're not afraid he's going to sell his kids again, so we'll redeem the kids, hopefully once and for all. Two other cases are important to know in the Mishnah. The first is that if the children are at risk of becoming assimilated and lost to the Gentiles, meaning the father doesn't take care of them or care about them or observe halacha and so on, then certainly the community has to get them back. We can't leave them. So the assumption of our Mishnah here is that they're living Jewish lives just in the servitude of a Gentile that their father brought them into. The other possibility that we need to consider is if they're at risk for their lives. Once they're at risk for their lives, so then that's, sakanas nefashos and pidum shvim kicks in. There's no derabanan takana against that. So if even after they've sold themselves for a third time, if they're at risk of being killed by the Gentiles, then there certainly is the mitzvah to ransom them back again. That's the first case of the Mishnah. It stands alone. The final case of the Mishnah, which is almost like a new Mishnah, right? It's a new topic here, and the Gemara is a new Mishnah here. It says, HaMocher es sadeu lagoy, if a Jew who's resident and owns land in Eretz Yisrael sells his land to a Gentile, then, according to the Gemara I have in front of me, lokeach umevi mimenu bikurim bibnei tikkun olam, he's required, literally I'll translate it as, he is to purchase and bring from that land, bikurim, for the sake of tikkun olam. So the case is, and the pshat in our Mishnah is, according to the Gears I have in front of me, is that we say, listen, you're not supposed to sell your land to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and we're sorry to see that happen. If you do that, we're imposing an extra penalty on you that every year you have to go back to your old field, purchase the bikurim. Bikurim are those first fruits that ripen from the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is praised by. That's wheat, barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. Take those first fruits, even if it's going to cost you a lot of money, bring them to the Beis Mikdash as Bikurim, like pretend Bikurim, bring them as Bikurim, the technicalities of what happens next is beyond the scope. The technicalities of how to deal with the fact that these aren't really Bikurim, and the possibility of bringing non-sanctified produce to the bazaar and so on, all that's beyond the scope. I don't discuss that right now in our Mishnah. But the point is, essentially, the point here is the takana of Tikkun Olam is the seller is forced to go every year to be reminded of what he did and lay out more money, even a lot of money, to purchase the first fruits to bring them to Yerushalayim as pretend Bikurim, I'll call it. Now, the thought is there that that's the Tikkun Olam is that will force him to either not sell in the first place or do what he can to buy it back, and that will be good for Eretz Yisrael staying in the hand of Jews. Now, a couple things. First of all, this Mishnah is assuming, it's based on the presumption that Yesh Kinyan La'Ovid Kochavim Be'Eretz Yisrael La'Havkia. There is the possibility, like the legal possibility, of a non-Jew purchasing land in Eretz Yisrael, such that it becomes now non-Jewish owned land, and it's no longer, it's like divested of its sanctity, meaning the mitzvahs that are tluyas ba'aretz, the various mitzvahs that depend upon the sanctity of the land, like for example Bikurim, are actually no longer operative if a Gentile owns the land. That's the assumption of our Mishnah. And therefore, even though there's no Bikurim to be brought from this land, we make this rabbinic rigmarole, this like farce, forcing him to do it, so he'll have this sort of economic incentive to buy back or disincentive of selling in the first place. As a matter of halacha, the Rambam Baskins, let's say that's the halacha, that Ein kinyan la'ovid kochavim be'eretz Yisrael la'havkia. There is no reality to a non-Jew purchasing land in Eretz Yisrael such that it becomes, like I'll call it, non-Jewish land, divesting it of its sanctity. Which means that the mitzvahs atzeluyas ba'aretz, whatever mitzvahs depend upon the land's sanctity itself, are operative even if the land is being controlled or owned by a non-Jew. Which would mean that the bikurim that have to be brought from this land are really there, and it would, like, there'd be bikurim on a doraisa level. Okay? So that's more like how the halacha, on that angle, how the halacha would be. Now, there's another girsa floating around in the Mishnah, and the Rambam, who I'm assuming this halacha is following him, actually had this girsa. It's the girsa you find like in the good old-fashioned, you know, old Mishnah, Yochanan and Boaz. And instead it says, V'chazar v'lak chamimenu Yisrael v'halokeach mevi, or halokeach mevi, which sounds like we are, not that we are requiring the seller to go purchase the Bikurim, but rather, when the purchaser buys back the land, if there had been ripened fruit that grew on the land, he would have to bring it as Bikurim. Now the truth is, according to the Girsa, the truth is, if that would be the case, a person buys land and has fruit on it, he should have to bring it now on a Doraisa level. So according to the Girsa, it becomes a little strange why this is called a Tikkun Ha'olam, when really it's Middin Torah, it's the Doraisa requirement to bring this Bikurim if he purchased the land back from the Gentile and it has produce on it. So according to that Girsa, although it's more difficult, the Pshat on the mission would be that there had been a previous enactment, rabbinic enactment, which would exempt him from bringing this fruit, and now we're reinstating, because of Tikkun Olam, we're bringing it back. The requirements, what originally was there, to bring Bikurim from land he purchased from a Gentile.